Welcome to the Newsbusters podcast with the executive editor of Newsbusters, your host, Tim Graham.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of Why Does Brian Stelter Hate Space Travel? When a billionaire goes into space, it's time to talk about dramatic wealth inequality. Of course, if we compared Brian Stelter's paycheck to newbies at CNN, we could also probably have a lecture about dramatic wealth inequality. Oh, that's different. He deserves his money. Billionaires shouldn't exist. That's what the AOC types always tell us. We should tell you Bill D'Agostino's video on critical race theory, which we discussed in a previous episode, and the liberals of TikTok, the teachers that push critical race theory in kindergartens and other schools and other classes, that is now posted on Newsbusters. It's an action-packed 3 minutes. The folks at MRC Culture have a piece up now with this title, Filthy Hollywood Film with Lesbian Nuns and Virgin Mary Dildo Makes Waves at Cannes. In other words, Europeans are still perverts who hate Jesus. That's the alternative headline. Brent Bozell says, we need spicy headlines, guys. There we go. Europeans have a lot of perverts who hate Jesus. More at 11. You just have to say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. There was a story that shocked us. NBC had a story on Hunter Biden. What? Hunter Biden is not supposed to be discussed. It's like Fight Club. Stephanie Gosk had a story on the Nightly News on Hunter Biden planning on selling his paintings for hundreds of thousands of dollars. She found an expert to basically suggest that Hunter Biden's painting something you might call hotel art. That's a diss. Certainly, hotels don't pay $500,000 for schlocky watercolors. However, the New York Times can write schlocky stories about Hunter Biden's new career as an artist. Lovely. The neat thing about the story that NBC did was they did go to Walter Schaub as their source, as their main watchdog. Walter Schaub was Obama's ethics czar. And in this particular case, I mean, Walter Schaub, who did a lot of cable news under Trump for talking about the utter lack of ethics under Trump, that was something that they always wanted to hammer. Walter Schaub has turned around on this and basically said what Hunter Biden's doing here is all wrong. Stephanie Gosk asked him in this case, don't the children of presidents have the right to pursue a career? Schaub said, the children of presidents have the absolute right to pursue a career, but as citizens of this country, they really have a moral and ethical duty not to trade on their parents' public service. Well, the only thing wrong with that concept is, welcome to Hunter's entire adult life. It's what he does. It's his bag, baby. Gosk was asking the devil's advocate question. She said, there's also concern someone might try to gain influence with the president by buying his son's art. Yes, just like they tried to gain influence with the vice president by hiring him at Burisma. He had no experience in the Ukraine. He had no experience in the oil and gas industry, and he got the job anyway. Stephanie Gosk did mention Burisma in this story. She explained that the administration has made an agreement with the gallery that's selling the Hunter masterpieces not to reveal the buyer's names to anyone, including the president and including Hunter Biden. Schaub described this as an amateur mistake because there's no way to control what the purchasers do. They can go out and tell the world that they bought this art. And it doesn't matter whether they tell you or they don't. If they buy the art, there, at some point, I'm going to tell you, they would probably come back around to the Bidens and go, wink, wink, you know, help me out. But it's nice that they can actually do this story. You know, they could have done more Hunter Biden stories before the 2020 election was over. But I think we all know what happened there. The New York Post had a bunch of scoops that everyone else tried to say, including NBC. It has all the hallmarks of Russian disinformation. Well, now that Biden's elected, sometimes they can actually do an honest story that says, oh, by the way, this kind of is an ethical swamp. It is. The column that's up today is about how Jen Psaki and White House aide Cedric Richmond were trying to claim somehow that Republicans defunded the police. This sounds utterly preposterous, so it is an easy test of the independent fact checkers. Are you independent? Do you give a fig about the facts? Because this should probably get a fact check from you. Cedric Richmond went on Fox News Sunday and said Republicans are very good at staying on talking points of who says defund the police, but the truth is they defunded the police. Jen Psaki was forced to defend this, of course. She had actually said a few days before, some might say the other party was for defunding the police. I'll let others say that. Yes, and then Cedric Richmond did exactly that. Fox's Peter Doocy pressed her on this on several occasions. And, you know, she just tried to stick to it. She tried to basically suggest that there was nothing wrong with trying to say Republicans defunded the police. Well, their theory here is they had this massive, what they called the American Rescue Plan, or their coronavirus relief package 2.0, that they're passing bills to go out in March after a lot of people have been vaccinated. As the case count declined, the argument certainly was made by the Republicans, and they voted against it unanimously. We don't need more stimulus because we're on the mend, because the virus is on the run. But they wanted to have their massive spending because this is where they get their power. But their theory in here was, in this massive American Rescue Plan, there was potentially money for cities and states to hire police officers. There was no explicit guidance in this massive bill to fund police officers. It's just that, well, you could decide to do that if that's what floated your boat. So the question was, which fact checkers did this? I mean, we can say this, you know, this was on Fox. CBS and CNN had also interviewed Cedric Richmond on June 27. But this claim that Republicans defunded the police wasn't uttered on the other networks, and then the other networks didn't run that clip or try to fact check it. There was nothing at Snopes. There was nothing at CNN, Facts First Fact Check. There was nothing at AP Fact Check. And there was nothing at PolitiFact, which I suppose is sort of our favorite punching bag, because PolitiFact doesn't even have a page on Jen Psaki. Not only has she been the White House press secretary for 6 months, she was the State Department secretary for Obama, and she still doesn't have a single fact check. This is also true of Cedric Richmond. Cedric Richmond served for 10 years in the House of Representatives from Louisiana, and he doesn't have a single fact check. However, if you put the term defund police in the search engine at PolitiFact, you get a pile of articles rushing to the defense of the Democrats. Biden never favored defund the police. Kamala Harris isn't for defunding the police. Mark Warner isn't for defunding the police. Mark Kelly isn't for defunding the police. Sarah Gideon in Maine isn't for defunding the police. And on and on and on. PolitiFact also posted an article about how, well, some people want to eliminate police entirely, AOC, Ilhan Omar. Others just want to reroute some of their funding toward other services. Well, if the Republicans had succeeded at rerouting some of the PBS and NPR money, or if they'd rerouted some of the food stamp money, they would call that, at least they would call that a spending cut, if not a defunding. Because that's what happens. We'll be back with more with senior analyst Kyle Drennan after this.
MRC-store.com.
Pro-gun, pro-life, pro-God, and pro-America? Welcome to the Pro Shop.
MRC-store.com.
T-shirts, hoodies, goodies, and much more.
MRC-store.com.
The only store that always offers conservatives more.
That's MRC-store.com.
Log on, log in, and help the Media Research Center while shopping for great gear today.
MRC-store.com.
We're back in the Newsbusters podcast with senior analyst Kyle Drennan, who's been very busy as usual, chronicling all of the madness on NBC and MSNBC and everything else. The big hot story right now is those crazy Texas Democrats taking crazy private jets to D.C.
Yeah, where do they get the money for the private jets? I'm just curious about that.
That's George Soros.
Yeah, probably. And they obviously don't care about climate change because they're taking private jets.
And, of course, nobody's wearing a mask on the private jet. So
no.
It was just a festival of things that you could have tried to point out.
But they did have a case of Miller Lite with them.
Which is an American beer, which, you know, somehow is backwards. They should have something, you know, more multicultural than Miller Lite.
True. That's true.
Yeah, I mean, I think what amuses me about this is, you know, what are they going to accomplish? But what you're finding is the stories they're saying, in a valiant fight to save democracy, the Texas Democrats, it's like we look at each other and go, this is like all over again that when they were praising Wendy Davis for filibustering, what? Filibustering was good on abortion way back when. And we all remember how well that worked for the political career of Wendy Davis.
I'm sure the shoes of all of these Democrats will soon be in the Smithsonian.
Or the museum, wherever the museum ends up.
Yeah, exactly. No, I mean, yeah, the obvious thing here is, you know, Democrats and the media are outraged that Republicans have the power of the filibuster in Washington to object to legislation. And that is a completely legitimate legislative procedure that both parties have used over the decades. And it's, you know, there's nothing illegitimate about it. The Democrats just are mad and the media are mad that they can't get their way. Now, take this. This is Democrats fleeing the state house, fleeing the state, preventing a quorum, preventing any business from getting done in the state of Texas, in the state legislature. It is 10 times worse than any kind of filibuster or parliamentary procedure. They are just abandoning their jobs. They're abandoning their responsibilities that they were elected to do. And the media are just thrilled by it. They applaud it. They cheer it. They don't see anything wrong whatsoever. I mean, the hypocrisy is just astounding.
Well, and they're obviously keeping all their usual lingo, which is, in an epic stand for voting rights, trying to save democracy, they're against Republican votes that are loaded with bills that are loaded with restrictions, all that sort of thing. So basically, they're making it sound, they're so virtuous. As you suggest, I mean, now they're making this the pompous rounds in D.C. They're doing press conferences and all singing "We Shall Overcome" to each other and chronicling their refugee meal. No, it wasn't refugee meals. What are they calling? Anyways, meals as they're fugitives. Fugitives.
That's right.
They're, you know, heroically chronicling their exploits, including what they had to eat. They would say that, I mean, obviously they are saying that they're doing their job. They're doing a lot of interviews on CNN or MSNBC talking about their heroic stand. But what does it accomplish?
Yeah, well, I mean, that's the problem. Democrats think talking to their friends in the media is their job, unlike, you know, actually doing their job, voting for things or voting against things. You know, it's fine. Stay there. You know, give all the speeches you want about how awful this legislation is and how you don't like it. But just the idea that, we're just going to flee. And it's like, if you do that, if you keep doing that, it's like the entire concept of representative democracy collapses if this is what, you know, people are just going to be petulant children and not show up for votes and not show up, you know, at legislative sessions. You can't even, they are subverting democracy is what they're literally doing. And they're pretending that they're saving democracy. And the media are going along with this fantasy that, no, it's like they're undermining and destroying democracy in real time right in front of us.
Well, obviously, what we've seen, one of the things that underlines who the media are is they always sort of assume that they're for democracy and that the Democrats equal democracy. And when Democrats win, democracy triumphant. In this case, yes, they lost here in Washington on their so-called For the People Act. And these people are flying to Washington to say, you guys really need to pass the For the People Act. Well, it didn't happen then. It's not going to happen now. You did have people like Claire McCaskill. We had Mark Finkelstein blog that Claire McCaskill on MSNBC basically said what you said. She was basically right. Like, well, the difference here is the Republicans actually have a 50-50 split in the Senate. That is not the way it is in the Texas legislature. They've got a pretty strong Republican majority. But the Democrats are basically saying, we're not going to get our way. We're going to take our ball and go to D.C.
Right. No, exactly.
It's funny to me because you know that when Donald Trump decided he was going to sue the big tech giants, the social media companies, and the hot take was all, you know, this isn't really a lawsuit. This is some sort of desperate PR stunt. And then they'll turn around and say, coming up next, a fantastic desperate PR stunt by the Democrats of Texas.
Yeah. No, and I mean, and some of the coverage I will give a small credit in that they'll maybe have a line here or there that'll say, well, Republicans or critics claim this is a stunt or something, but mm-hmm. it's never an objective statement of this is a stunt or this is wrong or let's go to this expert or this political scientist. It's like Republicans are saying this, so you don't really have to, you know, listen to them that much.
Well, and a lot of times, this is one of those things we always want to point out to you like nerds, that the news media has a habit of describing the Republican position and not actually letting the Republicans talk.
Right.
Which is why, so they'll say, Republicans claim this, but back to more sound bites of Democrats.
Right, exactly.
Ed O'Keefe on Tuesday had sort of asked one of these legislators, you know, what's the plan here? I mean, what do you say to people who say you're not working, you're actually walking away from working? And you know, the guy gives his We're the Valiant Saviors of Democracy speech. And O'Keefe says, well, what's your plan now? Are you going to stay out till the end of the session? And he's like, we'll stay here till the session ends. And when he starts another one, I mean, it does remind some of us of what happened in Wisconsin 10 years ago. When we had this sort of thing, when all the state Democrats, you were here, Kyle. That's how long you've been here.
I was here. Yeah, they fled across the state border to a motel somewhere
in Rockford.
Yeah,
yes, where they were having beers at the Tilted Kilt.
Democracy in action.
Let's have some beers with some busty babes in plaid. Well, but at the same time, the networks then were in the same tone, which was Scott Walker was somehow comparable to the dictator of Egypt, Hosni Mubarak. You know, he was the tyrant. He was the authoritarian. What was Scott Walker trying to do? It was he wanted to make state employees in Wisconsin pay more of their own health insurance costs. And this was somehow like tyranny and authoritarianism. It's the same thing here. I mean, Governor Abbott's basically saying this bill leaves Texas elections with less restrictions than Biden's Delaware. But you're not going to hear that.
No, I mean, one of the great, you know, crimes of this voter reform legislation Republicans want to pass in Texas is that they're going to get rid of drive-through voting that was invented 8 months ago for the pandemic.
Let's pretend that this is something that's gone on for hundreds of years.
Right.
Well, I mean, that is the game here, and that is that so many of these things that they're now categorizing as restrictions really could also be categorized as a return to the pre-COVID status quo.
Right.
Now, speaking of authoritarians, let's turn to Cuba, where we've gotten some sad coverage on that, as you noted. The Cubans are protesting in the streets, and CBS this morning actually said these words. You know, they were going to tell their viewers what authorities are doing to keep control.
Yes.
Who's anti-authoritarian again?
Yeah, no, that's how CBS This Morning started out. It's, oh, Cuba's being rocked by protests. What authorities are doing to maintain control was there. And then they go on in the segment. They bring on a CBS News producer based in Cuba who comes on and starts talking about, well, the Trump administration imposed all these sanctions and, you know, it's the Trump administration's fault and the Biden administration should, you know, get rid of all the sanctions and should appease, you know, Cuba's regime. And basically, you know, six decades of communist rule. That's not why the economy is collapsing in Cuba. It's Donald Trump.
Well, and what's funny is under Obama and Biden, they did loosen all of these rules. And did everything get better in Cuba? No, it did not. You point out, at no point in that CBS coverage were the words communist, authoritarian, or dictatorship used to describe the Cuban government. This would have been Monday. Mm-hmm. Sadly, the same was true on Good Morning America, although NBC's Today actually used the words communist dictatorship. I don't know why that you should get applause for accurately describing.
No, you shouldn't. That should just be, you know, oh, look, you did your job. But yeah, the other two just, I mean, you could say, well, everyone knows Cuba's a, you know, authoritarian country and communist and all that. But it's like, it's just a very basic description of what the system of government is there. And it's the very reason why people are taking to the streets is because they've been living under a communist dictatorship for decades.
Yeah, I think you could argue one of the things that annoys me about coverage of countries like this is that they will use terms like president or even just leader, you know, or Iranian president or prime minister,
right.
Chinese president, Cuban president or whatever, when they really should say dictator. Well, that's too emotional. We're only going to use the word dictator to describe our own elected president.
Yeah, basically.
I will say by Monday night, Nora O'Donnell led off the CBS Evening News with the words, in the streets, Cubans fed up with the communist government, staged nationwide protests. That is just an objective sentence.
Yeah, no, I mean, at least, yeah, finally by, you know, Evening News, they sort of figured out, oh, you know, we need to actually blame the people responsible here and not turn this into, you know, ridiculous political game.
I'm going to bet that what happened there was, yes, the Democrats decided that they should also be on the side of the Cuban protesters. And then the networks sort of line up with where the Democrats have shifted to. I mean, we see that all the time.
Yeah.
Finally, Kyle, I'm going to bring this up. It's the Scott Whitlock story. And that is the English and soccer, which most Americans would say, what? Yeah. We're supposed to care about soccer or the English? But we've had this breakout of stories. Speaking of blaming racist leaders, CBS and CNN, just to mention two, have tried to shame Boris Johnson over this controversy over the, I guess it's the European Soccer Championship. And some on social media were very vicious to the black players for England who failed to get the victory among everyone else on the English team. Mm-hmm. And Boris Johnson tried to denounce them, denouncing the players. And they were like, no, you're a racist. You don't get to play.
Well, Boris Johnson's offense was at the beginning of the tournament. Some players on the English team wanted to kneel during the national anthems being played, similar to, you know, Colin Kaepernick in this country. And some of the fans don't like that. They find that offensive. And they were booing these players who were, you know, who were disrespecting the national anthem. And so Boris Johnson refused to condemn the fans who were booing.
Right.
That was his great offense. And that is why somehow he caused all this to happen, because he, you know, wasn't going to attack fans who voiced their displeasure with a type of protest that is very controversial.
Yeah, I think that there's also was the notion some of these analysts, CNN had their sports analyst here, a guy in Britain, who was trying to suggest that, well, before he was prime minister, Boris Johnson mocked Muslim women for wearing burqas, and then therefore that's racist. so he doesn't get to lecture about racism. It's once again, there's nothing that can happen that they don't somehow drag back to Trump, or in this case, they dragged it back to something Boris Johnson said years ago.
Right. And they also tried to connect it to Brexit, because Brexit happened.
That's right.
That's why people went on, you know, Twitter and said offensive things. It's like, well, you know what? People go on Twitter and say offensive things every day of the week. It's Twitter. It's that's what happens. It's not good, but you know, people don't need an excuse to, you know, to behave despicably on Twitter.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of that. We try not to be part of that. It's just funny to me, because it's like, okay, it's Brexit. We want to separate our economy a little more from Denmark and Spain and Germany, and that's racist. What? But I think that that whole controversy, again, was to some degree about immigration. Immigration from, in their case, Africans and others coming across the Mediterranean. So anytime you strike that note of nationalism, it's all, they smelled the same thing coming. And so I guess the main point in all of this is that we pointed this out at the time when Brexit won, is that they all think that, you know, the media coverage of this is going to mean that the conservative side of an argument is going to lose. And when it doesn't lose, well, democracy died in darkness.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's it. Oh, democracy lost because, you know, conservatives won somewhere. So, yeah, it's synonymous.
And certainly Brexit was a sign of what was to come and what, you know, again, the political wave that was going to sweep Trump in, just the same way as Netanyahu winning in Israel. All of these things were things that the media, the liberal media, were campaigning against and calling themselves the mainstream. I always find that fascinating that they use the mainstream when they're losing.
Yes. Yeah, no, I mean, the media are the left-wing base of the Democratic Party. They are as far from the mainstream as you could possibly imagine. But, you know, they live in these bubbles and they think, oh, well, everyone must think the way we do.
Yeah, I mean, and sometimes, you know, they can try to say, well, everybody favors, they'll do a poll and they'll say, do you favor making it easier to vote? And they'll say, yes. Well, then you can come over here. You can ask the same person. Do you favor using, requiring a voter ID? Oh, yes, we're for that too.
Right.
But they're only going to focus on the one. I think people who answer polls want to answer in what they think is an idealistic way. And that's the funny part, where it's, well, we're going to focus on the polls we like. And I think one of the reasons people should be skeptical of the way that the networks run these things is they all use the polls to test how their media bias is working.
Yeah.
They use the same terms in the poll questions that they're using in their news coverage. While the Democrats run around and say that somehow it's authoritarian and require a voter ID, 80% of Americans say they have no problem with the voter ID.
Yeah, they'll do a report, you know, Republican voting laws are Jim Crow 2.0. And then they'll do a poll question. Do you think Republican voting laws are Jim Crow 2.0? Oh, you do? Okay. Now, where did you see that? Did you see that on our network? Good.
I mean, I hope they didn't ask that question. But yeah, I mean, we still have at the top of the Newsbusters Twitter page our clips on them using the term Jim Crow, which is an ongoing outrage, which is why it's perpetually sitting there at the top of the Twitter page. That's why you come to Newsbusters once, twice, 24 times a day. Thanks for listening.